What's going on, guys, and welcome back to the Unique Lives Podcast, episode 1. And today I am here with my good friend Dylan. Say hello.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me, Bennett.
And today we are going to be going over what this podcast is going to include. So for this podcast, we're going to be talking about life stories and experiences that people have to face on a day-to-day basis. And for us, we've gone through certain experiences that we know other people have also gone through, and that it should be talked about, and people should know that they're not alone, and that everyone is unique, and that you can become something even though you've faced hardships in your life. So for you, Dylan, I just want to go into a little bit of discussion on what went wrong with your childhood.
So for me, my childhood, I lost a lot of family members at a young age. So back when I was, I believe I was 8, I lost my mother, to cancer. And actually, I don't know if you know this, but I wear a wristband, that is like a, cancer awareness wristband, just so I remember, because it was such a hard thing for me in my life. Then the year after my mother passed away, I was living with my grandparents at the time, because my mom and dad were divorced. And my grandma, my nonny, passed away, which was also something hard. It was interesting, though, to see, like, two major figures in my life leave, but also two major female figures in my life leave, because, you know, once my, you know, my mom and dad were divorced, so I only saw my dad on the weekends. I saw my mom during the week. She was more of, like, a role model, major figure in my life. Then, the year after, my mom passed away in 2012, grandmother 2013. In 2014, my father passed away, and that was something that was hard for me, just because, like, he was around, but I wasn't seeing him at the time, because he was drunk driving. But that's a whole different discussion we can get into at in another podcast. But so he passed away from a drug overdose. And that was hard. It wasn't as hard as losing my mother and my nonny, though, just because I wasn't seeing him as often. And just recently, my uncle passed away, which was kind of a reminder that, you know, you lose people. But yeah, that's pretty much what I went through. What about you, Ben? What about some of the things that you
So, went as through? For me, in my childhood, I started off with my mom and my dad, and we all lived together, and it was sort of like a happy little family sort of dream. And it quickly turned into a lot of things that I never really wanted it to turn into. And I was really young, so I didn't quite realize it at first, but my dad was highly addicted to cocaine, smoked cigarettes, was an alcoholic, drug addict, you get the whole gist. And, you know, my mom also happens to have schizophrenia. She's a paranoid schizophrenic.
Can you explain that? Because I know some people might not know.
Yeah, I know some people might not understand what paranoid schizophrenia is, and a lot of people have very distorted views on it. So, basically, from my experience, paranoid schizophrenia is the worst mind mental illness that you can possibly have. It's hearing things that are not there, and it's not only that, but it's scary. It's like you're paranoid about things that people tell you in your ear, and that, you know, you just hear. Like, one time she told me a spray can was literally a bomb because it was ticking, and I had just dropped it on the floor, and I was wowed. And, you know, she's not able to drive, so that was a whole nother thing. That's another thing that I just really struggled with, because I didn't have transportation for part of my childhood. And primarily, though, she wasn't able to comprehend what was real and what was not. And that really put a damage on her. And it was just terrible.
How did that affect you with, like, your home life and just, like, in general? Having your own mother, like how you were just saying, you know, one day you dropped a spray can, she said it was a bomb. Like, how does having a mother who can't really, like, perceive reality and, like, what her mind is coming up with, like, how did that affect you?
So it affected me pretty directly, because as a kid, I would always get made fun of for my mom. Like, my mom was that person that walked around just hearing things and saying crazy things that no one could possibly understand, that was only in her mind and up in her head. And I think that it's not really fair. Like, she has had to go through so many things that literally are not even true, not even real to her. And it's just very painful to watch. And as a kid growing up, I had to determine myself what was real and what was not. Because when she said that there was a gunshot in the woods, I would be like, holy shit, is there a gunshot in the fucking woods?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was absolutely insane. But there's totally other examples. Like, I would be out playing with my friends in the neighborhood, and it would get towards dark, and she would want me to come inside all the time, even when I was older, because she thought there was people out there that were going to get me and were going to hurt me, and it was just a terrible experience. But going back to when I was a kid, I lived with my mom and my dad. Dad with the drug addiction, mom with the extreme mental illness. My dad also suffered with bipolar depression, which is a terrible mental illness as well. And he had a terrible loop of where he would get better, and he would go into rehab, and he would be doing so good, and I would be so proud for him. And then he would just get into this phase where he would just get really sad from the depression, and he would just get bummed out, and, like, you know, nothing would be going right for him, and he would just have high stress because he's a painter, so his jobs weren't always guaranteed. Like, it's kind of based off the weather. He paints, like, big houses and, you know, decks, anything like that. And it was just really tolling on him, everything. And it would just build up inside of him. And then he would go use drugs and alcohol. And thankfully for me, he never did any of that stuff in front of me. And I'm very grateful for that. But it still really affected me. And it also really affected my mother. I lived in an apartment with her, and we moved to another apartment, and that apartment was the last apartment that I ever lived with my mom and my dad. And in that apartment, it was great. I had just celebrated Christmas, and I had gotten a new Wii and a new guitar and all these new things, and, you know, it really made me happy, and I was with my family. It was the happiest I had ever been. I had fish in a big fish tank and a nice comfy bed with my own room. And, you know, it was really quite great.
Yeah.
But my dad just struggled with addiction way too much. And it's not that I never struggled because of it. It was more my mom, because she had to deal with, like, the screaming, the irritability, you know, really just a lot of things that branch from his mental illness and his drug addiction. And, you know, her having to deal with the schizophrenia and hearing things that aren't there and all that, it just built up on her way too much. She was way too paranoid, way too anxious, way too scared. So she basically decided that it was time to go.
Yeah.
She called my grandma up and she said, come get me. And that day, you know, she came. And I didn't want to go. I really didn't. And what really led up to her calling was that he came home one night, and previously he had called and asked her to make dinner that night. And she also has short-term memory loss, like really, really bad memory loss. Like, she can't remember things that you just tell her, like, 5 minutes before, 10 minutes before. Mm-hmm. So she had forgotten that night about the dinner. And when he came home, you know, he was extremely high, extremely drunk, and he just wanted food, and he snapped. I was on the couch, just watching TV. You know, it was kind of normal to me because screaming was just around all the time, and, you know, all that negativity was just around. But it really branched off when I saw him start to elevate. He started to get violent. He started throwing things. And then he started chasing my mom around our entire apartment. And at that point, I was scared for my life. I was scared for my mother's. And I was just hiding under pillows, under our couch. And it was truly terrifying. But what really, really stuck with me the most was watching my dad hit my mom. and seeing him, you know, bring her into a corner, literally she's trying to get out the door and just smack her, it grew a hate for me. You know, I really, like, disliked my dad for a really long time because of that. Because, you know, you're never supposed to hit a woman, and it's very wrong.
Yeah.
But I feel like I didn't understand drug addiction and mental illness and all these different things that I understand today. But after he did all this, as I said, he called up, or my mom called up my grandma, and they came, you know, my grandma came, she, right away, and she just kind of, you know, sat there and waited for my mom to pack everything up and put it all in the car. And at the time, I was just screaming, crying, I didn't want to go, you know, he can be better, all this stuff, and I just really didn't understand. And once she got the car packed, once everything was packed, I feel like I didn't fully understand that I was going to be leaving and never coming back.
Yeah.
So, when, you know, she arrived, it was really hard for me. She was downstairs in the car, and I was all the way high up in this apartment building. And I was just going through the emotions, really. Like, crying, kicking, screaming, and, you know, my mom told me that we had to go. And I basically told her, fuck you, no. And she basically pulled me from the couch, across the kitchen floor, down the hallway, by my foot, all the way, kicking, screaming, crying, down through the elevator, throughout the hallway, and finally out to the door. And at that point, I had gotten dragged across some concrete, and I didn't really want to bleed, so I basically got up on my own 2 feet and admitted defeat. Got in the car that day, and she drove home to my grandma's, and it was really hard for me.
I could see.
And his drug addiction after that point, when he finally lost his family, it really spiraled out of control to another level that I can't fully understand. And at that point, he had become insane. I was living with my mom and my grandma at my grandma's, and we were just living life. And I had, you know, received some phone calls and heard some information, and, you know, he had gone to prison for robbing a bank because he had no money, and the addiction took it from him, and it was terrible. And I couldn't handle it at all. I was maybe 8 years old. And not having a father figure in your life, as you know as well,
yeah,
it's really hard for you to grow up and to teach yourself things that you really have to know. And yeah, so I'm going to switch it over to you.
Okay.
And yeah, so how was growing up and not, like, how did you shape yourself? Like, everyone has these pieces that they hold with them from losing a parent or losing something. Like, what really shaped you in your experience?
Well, I think before I answer that, I should give a little bit of backstory, kind of like how you were saying. So for me, I and by the way, that was a lot that you just said. That was a lot of information. And I also just want to let everyone know, I've known you since what, second grade?
Yeah, second grade.
Was it? I feel like it was first grade.
First grade?
Because then we have Miss R, or what's her name?
I don't remember any of my teachers from elementary school, but I remember
I remember in first grade you would bring all those little figure guys. I remember one day you had your backpack was full of them.
Yeah.
And I think I still have mine. I don't know where they went. But anyway, so I've known you since first grade, and I didn't really learn about anything that, like, you had just told me until, like, eighth grade. Like, it was a while.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised, and even just now I learned some new information that I didn't know about before. And I think that was interesting. With my situation, You know, I was very young when my mom and dad got divorced. I don't really remember a lot of it. But kind of like similarly with what had happened with you, I believe one day, you know, my dad came home and he had an addiction. My dad had an addiction that was unlike your father's. My dad, he was addicted to alcohol purely. Now, he did smoke weed. He might have done other things. I don't know. None of my family will really tell me about it. But one day he came home and he punched my mom in the eye, like gave her like a black eye. And we had came here, the house, you know, my grandfather's house.
Yeah.
Several times, and we like would sleep on the couch for a night. And then we'd go back the next day. But this time we didn't come back. And I remember, for me, because I was so young, and I remember my dad just being a very violent person. Like, we would have good memories and stuff like that, but I know that he was violent, and I kind of understood, like, you know, I might not like this, but this is what has to be done, because I saw the things that was going on. Like, I was seeing him punching her and them getting into these massive arguments and whatnot, and it all really kind of just hit me in this other way that I didn't really understand at the time, but I kind of got to understand that more and more. Now, when they got divorced, one memory that I really remember is me standing over in the front window of my house, and my nonny standing to the left of me, and my pop standing to the right of me, and just seeing there was like 5 or 6 cars just moving everything that we owned up, people bringing all this stuff into the house. And at that time, I kind of understood, okay, so this is where I'm going to live now. And I don't really, any memory that I can really remember is pretty much here, because I've lived most of my life here. You know, I've gone to school, coming back to school, you know, going to school, I woke up in my bed in this house. But for me, you know, with their whole divorce and all that, especially when they were both around, you know, it was like I got to have those memories with them, and they got to like show me different things. One thing that my dad didn't like, though, is my mom was very protective of me. Like, she, some days, she wouldn't even let me go to the beach with my friends. Like, she wouldn't let me do anything. And I didn't really understand that at the time. I don't remember how I would react to that kind of stuff. I just don't, you know, I was just too young at that point. But my dad didn't like how she was, like, babying me so much. And one thing I can remember is one day, because I didn't know how to swim when I was, like,
yeah.
I didn't learn how to swim until I was, like, 10.
I didn't either. I got thrown in the pool when I was, like, 6, and, you know, I was expected to swim, and, you know, I didn't fucking swim. I fucking drowned.
Yeah, that was the thing it said with my dad, is we had this little floaty, and he was trying to teach me how to kick. Like, you know, because, you know, you use your feet to paddle when you're swimming. And we went down to the beach. And that was one thing I really liked about my dad's house, is we were, like, a walk away from the beach. It was very, very nice. So anyway, we would walk down to the beach, and this one day he literally grabbed me and just like forcefully threw me into the ocean. And the waves were like this tall.
He threw me in the ocean.
God damn. Expected me to swim. And I remember my mom was so upset. She almost didn't let me go with him, but I still kept going with him. Now, for me, I remember when I was, you know, starting to grow up a little bit more, and I'm surprised I even have that memory about the swimming, but I kind of had forgotten about that a little bit. And as I progressed, and I was, you know, I was going from, like, being, like, 3 to, like, 5 and, you know, 6 and 7, I remember, for me, their divorce was like fun.
What do you mean by fun?
Because I got twice the amount of birthday presents, twice the amount of Christmas presents,
my God,
twice the amount of Easter presents. I was like, this seems fair. Like, this is a fair trade. Like, is a fair trade.
Jesus. So what did you take away from your dad, like, as a person?
From my dad, well, I mean,
like any hobbies, like anything at all, like any music style, anything at all.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, let me bring that up. So obviously, people that are listening to the podcast, if they don't know us, I'll just say, I love music. Like, music is like my, like one of my biggest outlets on just like, you know, just expressing myself. And I love music so much. One thing that my dad was really into as well is music. We would go to festivals. We would go to concerts and, you know, in our center of town. I almost revealed the location in which we live. That would have not been good.
No. That would have really not been good, no.
It's only the first podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he would take me to all these different music things. He had, like, 5 different guitars. We were always listening to music. His favorite band was The Grateful Dead. I don't really like their music. I, like, I'm more of a heavier guy. I think just because of my background. You know, Grateful Dead's a very, like, I'm going to smoke a blunt and, like, listen to The Grateful Dead. But, like,
yeah,
you know, like, that's what that is, you know. Or, well, it's probably more like crack some acid or something like that, you know.
Crack some acid.
Yeah, dude, I have some stories about The Grateful Dead, you know. I don't know if you know, but, like, people used to go to Grateful Dead concerts, one, to listen to music, or two, like, so many people, like, had, like, Volkswagen buses. And would just sell acid, molly, crack, weed. Like, they sold everything.
Yo, that's some, like, hippie bus type shit right there.
That was back in the 80s, dude. These people with these vans would literally travel with the Grateful Dead. And they would just sell drugs out of it. Because that's the only way that you could experience the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, only way, man.
So you have to be high on, like, crack or acid or something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, what was...
I got really off track
with that Grateful Dead hippie bus.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, you were asking what I took away from my dad. So, music was one thing. I was actually, I don't know if you know, but I was named after Bob Dylan. My dad owned this book. I wish I had gotten it after he'd passed away or before his house got sold. But he had a book about this thick, and it was just full of these, every single Bob Dylan song that had been written so far. And it was on a table, and every time my mom would walk in to the house, because my mom and my dad lived in my, technically my grandfather's house on my dad's side of the family, but then he moved into an apartment, and my mom and my dad moved in there, and she would open the door, and there was this Bob Dylan guitar chord book. And she would look at it every day, and then she was like, I'm going to name my kid Dylan.
Yeah.
So music was a very heavy influence. Another influence, my dad loved video games. He bought me a GameCube, and that was another thing. My dad would, like, I had so much stuff in my dad's house. He bought me a GameCube and, like, 100 games.
100
He
games.
Had games. Like, we had a... It was, like... 4 stacks, like, from the floor to, like, the top of my table. We had 4 stacks of games, like, that big. And now, I know they're probably not going to understand what I'm saying. So that's like 3.5 feet.
3.5 feet tall. That's video game.
That's like 3, like, it's like 2 feet. We'll say that's 2 feet.
2 feet.
That's like, okay, 2 feet. 2 feet. That's like 2 feet. That's a lot of video games. And 5 stacks, like, that's a lot of games.
That's a lot of games.
That's a lot of games. That was another thing, was games. Another hobby that he got me into is, football, watching football. You know, I'm with the marching band, I watch the football games, I'm really in-depth into that. One team that he really liked was the Patriots. I'm a Patriots fan, I also like the Giants, they were my mom's team. That's one thing that people kinda, they yell at me for. Because I'll be like, yeah, my 2 favorite teams are the Giants and the Patriots. And they'll be like, no, you can't. They're rivals. And I'm like, well, my mom liked the Giants. Dad liked the Patriots. I like both. I like the Yankees and the Red Sox.
When it comes to sports, my whole family is really kind of split up. It's my dad likes the Jets and the Cowboys. And the Jets really suck. And my whole family likes the Jets. And it's just a whole thing. And going back to... You know, what I was talking about with my family and my experiences. After I had been removed from my whole living situation with my father, and I found out that he was in prison from, you know, drug addiction and robbing a fucking bank, I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't have a role model. I only had my schizophrenic mother and my pretty old grandma. And something that was really hard for me during that period of time was my grandmother got really sick. She had gotten cancer. She had three types of cancer. She had anal cancer, lymph node cancer, and what was the other cancer? Skin cancer.
Skin cancer.
And I didn't know what was going on the whole time. I just knew that she was very sick. And my grandmother was really the only stable person in my life. Previously in her life, when she was younger, you know, she was an alcoholic. And, you know, I'm proud to say that this March, she's going to have 4 decades sober. 40 whole years on this planet sober from an addiction that almost took away her daughter, my mother. And, you know, if she hadn't quit that, it would have, I wouldn't even be talking on this episode right now. And truly, once my grandmother got sick, I was kind of scared for what would happen to me. Because she was the only one that was kind of keeping me from being taken away by DCF.
Now, what is, for people who don't know, what is DCF?
So, DCF is the Department of Child Services, I think, right? Yeah, that's what it's, I'm pretty sure that's what
DCF?
It is. DCF? DCF. All right, you know what? We'll do a quick Google search. DCF. DCF, yeah, is the Department of Children and Families. And basically, they come and they evaluate your family. And they see if your family is fit to be a parent to you. They evaluate your living situation, you know, your quality of life. And if it's well enough, and if you want to stay there, you can stay there. Now, in some cases, DCF realizes things that other people don't realize, that the kid doesn't realize, primarily. And they see things that are wrong, like abuse, child neglect. There's like a million different things. And they basically separate you from your family. And once my dad got really bad with drug addiction, and, you know, I only had my grandma, if it weren't for my grandma, I would have been taken away. I would have been an orphan. I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't have the same role model, the same story. I would have nothing.
You probably wouldn't be doing this podcast right now.
Yeah, whole another reason. Wouldn't be doing this podcast at all. And, you know, going back to the podcast itself, I just want people to know that you're not alone with whatever story that you may have. And the Unique Lives podcast is really about engaging with our audience and talking about stories and really interviewing people and just sharing everyone's experience. And if you haven't already, if you want to follow us on Instagram, we are at Unique Lives Podcast. So check us out. And yeah, so I think that's all we're going to talk about for this podcast.
Well, there's actually one thing I did want to mention with DCF, or do you want to wait for that?
Sure. Let's bang it out. What
all right, so for DCF, I don't know about you, but for me, they would come to, they would have people come to my house, right? Yeah. And they would, you know, just check and see, you know, how we were doing. And at the time, I remember I was really upset because I didn't understand why they were coming. And I think now, with them, I have a little more of an understanding just because what my dad was doing, I don't know if you know about this, but he would call the police and say that my mother was, like, whipping me.
Oh, wow.
And, like, was, like, gonna, like, eat me like a cannibal. Or, like, just, like, crazy stuff.
Yeah, like, absolutely out of the norm shit.
And now, you know, DCF, like, they don't know whether to believe the mother who is saying, no, I'm not doing this, or the father. So I think because of that and a lot of the other really, like, forceful chemistry going on, even though we had been divorced, they still came to make sure that I was doing well and to see what I was doing. You know, like, how I was reacting, how I was acting. My grandfather, I have to really thank him because he was one person who really, who affected the way that I grew up. I love him to death, and I'm so glad that I'm able to be here because, you know, I have co-guardians, and I would have gone to live with them if, you know, my pop didn't decide to keep me, because I was going to, but he decided he wanted me to stay. But with going back to the DCF, you know, with them saying all that, they would come and they'd talk, and I didn't really understand how to react to all that just because of how interesting it was that people were going to come and talk about, like, my family and all that. I didn't really want to talk to them. I was more angry that they were being around than anything. And, you know, especially after, kind of after a few years of the divorce, they stopped coming around. They weren't coming around as much to check up on me. And that, I think, I was kind of grateful for, because I didn't really like talking to them in the first place. That's why I don't really like therapy, because I don't like having, like, that, like, all of that just pressure. Yeah. Having to just look at someone who doesn't know you at all and just spiel to them.
Yeah.
And if, that's kind of what DCF was like.
Yeah, if I may intervene here. After I was separated from my family, they put me in therapy immediately.
Yes, that's what they did for me
too. Yeah, and for my first therapist, she was really nice. You know, they had a little playroom, you know, talked about stuff, and I really liked her. And, you know, then she moved away, and I got another therapist. And this therapist was literally the worst therapist I've ever had in my entire life. I'm totally for therapy. It's a good thing. You know, it's good to talk about how you feel. And, you know, that's also part of, you know, what we're doing in this podcast. And this therapist literally grinded me every single appointment that I had. Like, just talked to me with, like, you know, just trying to get information on, you know, my life, my childhood. Like, and at the time, I was too young to really, like, comprehend and process everything, so it just made me really upset, and I would cry every single time, and it was just literally the worst thing ever. And I'm very grateful that he actually changed so that I could get a new therapist. So he changed where he was working to a different town, and I was super happy, and then I got my current therapist. Now, I've had this current therapist for many, many years now, and he's extremely helpful. And I'm actually really grateful for that because, you know, as I've gotten farther in life, yes, I've grown farther away from the issues that brought me to therapy. But therapy really has helped me with some of the current issues that I deal with. Now, I'm not exactly going to go into all the current issues that I deal with, but
that's for another podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. You already know, a whole another episode of Unique Lives. But I think that it's just important to have one, you know, as long as mental health. It's about mental health, really.
Yeah.
And having a good mental health, having good mindset, it's just really important. And I feel like that's a whole nother thing of why we're doing this podcast in the first place, because it's just important. And, you know, getting to know people around you is really something special, because everyone has dealt with something so much. And when they say that you can't just look at the cover of a book, you really can't.
You can't. You have to, you know, a lot of people, what they do, and one reason why, like, I personally, going back to therapy, I don't like it. I've had, you know, when I was introduced to it at first, I didn't understand why. You know, I thought I was fine. I was living a perfectly happy life. I didn't understand why people wanted me to go and talk to someone. But I believe that therapy, maybe not specifically for me, but for other people, is a good idea. And kind of like what you were saying about a book is, like, many people, they go to school, they go to work, you know, they go live their life. And to, like, you and me, like how I was saying earlier, you know, back in first, second grade, you know, when we were, like, really kicking it off, because I know we did not talk to each other for a couple years, and I'm grateful that we did get to come back and start hanging out again.
Yeah.
But you know, for me, it's like, I didn't know your backstory. I didn't know that these are the things you were experiencing and going through. And that's how it is for a lot of people. Like, I talked to some people today. They don't know that my mom passed away when I was 8. You know, they don't know that I lived with my grandfather. Like, these are things that just people don't really understand. They don't know and they don't get. And that's why I think therapy is good for really everyone, because there's a lot of things that you personally might not be able to put out. But I feel like, you know, with a therapist, if that's like the right thing for you, then you should really go and do it, because it's really going to help you in the long run. I might have not loved every single therapy session I've gone to before, but there have been so many therapy sessions that I've gone to that I've just needed to talk about something that happened that day, and I was really able to just like relieve the stress that has gone on with me. And that's why I think that this podcast could be helpful for a lot of people. And if you have things that you are personally going through and that you have really, you know, pulling down on you, you know, feel free to go to our Instagram at Unique Lives Podcast. Go there, DM us.
Yep.
Maybe if you don't know, go ahead and DM us.
Yeah.
Just tell us about things that you might want us to talk about. If you're comfortable, we can get you on the podcast, talk about different things.
Yeah, pretty much any discussion at all. And yeah, we'll have the link, or not link, the at to our Instagram in our little podcast bio. So if you didn't quite catch it, you could either pause it and listen to it again, or you can just go there and listen to it. But yeah, so going back to my life and where... And what happened to me, really, with my mom and my grandma and my dad, and, you know, how I coped with everything. A lot of people would really break in this situation that, like, I had to deal with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just being a developing kid and being around absolute sheer craziness is really difficult. And after... my dad was in prison, and I didn't do well. I never cared about my grades, and I didn't really care about anything whatsoever. In the third grade, fourth grade, I had like 40 absences. I got lice that year. I had really long hair. I had a bowl cut, you know. God bless. I mean, thank the Lord I don't have that shit now, but...
Did you have that until, like, 7th grade?
No, I did not. I had it till 4th grade. I got rid of it in the 4th grade. The full bowl cut, like, to the shoulders.
Had a bowl cut.
Yeah, I had a bowl cut until, like, 7th grade. And then I finally switched it into the little swoosh that I have now. But I really did get bullied a lot for it as a kid.
Your bowl cut?
No, I got I just got bullied for everything as a kid. I had a really traumatizing experience for me was growing up next to a straight bully. Like, literally, I lived in a condo complex, so right next door was another condo, and it had this guy and this girl, and they were brother and sister, and they were, like, 3 to 4 years older than me the whole time. And he would come outside every time I went out to play, and, you know, he would bully me, he would push me around, he would steal my fucking Legos, he would steal my action figures, he would, you know, do all these terrible, terrible things. The list could go on literally forever. And when I was a kid, I didn't have someone there to protect me. I didn't have my father. My dad always told me, he was like, if anyone ever fucks with you, Bennett, you beat their fucking ass. And you know what? I hold that principle to this day. Yeah. And you know what? When I was a kid, terrible, terrible fucking things happened to me. The same kid that bullied me for years and years and years and years, one day, rung on my doorbell. I opened that doorbell that day. And for some fucking reason, right? Literally, he's a bully. Like, I'm literally sitting there in my kid mind. He wanted to play with my WWE figures. We walked outside, we were chilling, and then I don't know. For some reason, I guess I was a really stupid kid. But he literally asked me to, like, go on a walk. And we were just, like, because we have a condo complex. It's a big circle.
Right.
So, you know, we're just walking, and we have a paintball field.
Yeah, I actually...
Yeah.
One day, we gotta go do that.
One day, we gotta get some paintball guns and go. But this paintball field experience was pretty much the most traumatizing thing that's ever happened in my life.
Does he still live in your condo?
No, he moved away probably when I was 10. And I was fucking very happy when he moved away. I stepped outside. I took all my fucking Legos. I threw them on the floor. I was like, ain't nobody taking my goddamn Legos. But, yeah, anyway, I was really happy. Paintball field. So, he brought me to the paintball field. And, you know, we were just kind of, you know, running around, fucking throwing shit and messing around in the field. And it's not really a paintball field. There's just a bunch of, like, it's just a wooded area with a bunch of BBs on the floor because people would play airsoft and people would, you know, fuck around with paintball guns and there would be, like, little wooden planks and shit. But I don't really know how to say it in a way that's not really, like, out of the norm. It's totally out of the fucking norm. But this kid, I knew he was a bully, but I didn't know that he was to the level that he was. Now, I'm pretty sure this kid grew up being abused physically, mentally, and he had a very poor life. He didn't have a very structured family, kind of like mine, but I didn't expect this at all.
What happened?
He essentially tried to rape me.
Really?
Yeah. And that shit fucking hit like a truck. That man literally tried to rape me that day. And the only thing that saved me was I was a little tattletale snitch. I was like, if you fucking do this shit right now, I'm about to go home. And I'm about to go to fucking the cops. And you're gonna go to fucking prison. And that fucker was scared.
He didn't say the normal bully line at that. Because I just want to say, not to cut you off, I apologize. But if you are to a point, how old was he? How much older was he than you?
4 years.
So you were like...
I was like 8.
8. So that means he was like 12.
Yeah.
He was like 12.
Yeah.
Now, if you're 12... I thought there was someone outside. My bad. So if you're 12, right, you're going to rape a kid. And you're at that level of, like, psychoticness. The normal line for someone to say would be, I'll kill your family.
Yeah.
That happens in the movies, but you hear so many stories, I feel like that's what would happen. So I'm surprised that he...
Yeah, I'm a little surprised.
...got scared and didn't just say something like, I'm going to rape your fam... Or not rape.
Rape.
Yeah. No, I'm going to kill your family. And then just rape you anyway. But that is... I mean, that's probably the best way to do it, is just say you're going to tattle to him.
Yeah, well, either way, he didn't fucking do it, and then I ran home, and I think he actually did say he would kill my... Actually, now that you fucking bring it up, I'm pretty sure he said he would kill my family if I told anyone. And basically, I didn't fucking tell anyone. And it's not even because...
Well, you just told me, and you told the I just told podcast, you,
I just
you.
Told the fucking podcast, but I didn't tell anyone. And I just, you know, he moved away. He didn't really ever fuck with me again after he did that. That's kind of when he just fucked off because he was like, holy shit, I can go to fucking prison. But the moral of the story is that I didn't really... Alright, I guess this isn't the moral of the story, but my dad wasn't fucking there, okay?
Okay.
And if my dad were to be there just at home, I would have went and I would have told my fucking dad, and my dad would have picked that kid up by the fucking throat and smashed him into the floor. And they probably both would have went to prison. Anyway, it really affected me. And my dad then struggled for years and years and years with his drug addiction. And, you know, he would get better and then he would get worse. And he got a year sober 1 year. I went to the meeting that year, the 1 year meeting, like, you know. And they give out their tokens, you know, their 1 year tokens.
Uh-huh.
and they, you know, you give a speech on, you know, how you did it, what you did, and all that. And, you know, he said, by the grace of God and his family and the people around him supporting him. And that day I cried. I had never seen my dad sober for that long. And I really thought that he was doing better and that he was going to get better. And a month later, he lapsed. And it literally devastated me. Like, I don't know. A lot of the times in my life, I've been told that, you know, it's going to get better. He's going to get better. He's told me himself, I'm going to get better. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And I love my dad. And, you know, I really do have hope for him. It's just, you know, it's just, once you've been told something so many times and it hasn't come true, you kind of have to come with terms to it that there's a chance that it might just never happen.
Yeah, I think with my dad, you know, a lot of people would tell me about how, you know, especially on my dad's side of the family, that, you know, he was fine, he was getting better. I think one thing that was hard for him is that, you know, that side of the family is just, they're just all drinkers. Alcohol is just a common thing. You know, my grandpa, my dad's side of the family, he, like, hit my dad. Like, he would drink, like, he would go to the bar, like, every night. The one thing funny about drinking in his side of the family, and my pop was telling me this other day, that he was telling me that my grandpa, we'll say that my grandpa is my dad's grand, my dad's dad. So my grandpa, right, he used to operate these big heavy cranes, and the only way he could do it is if he was just, like, completely drunk. Like, he would, like, excavate these big buildings and bring all this stone over here, and he'd put all this stuff. He could only do it when he was drunk. He couldn't do it sober.
Really?
Yeah, he could only do it when he was drunk.
Are you sure that was safe? I don't think that man was...
That's how bad of a drinker he was, that he had to be drunk in order to operate heavy machinery to the way that he did. Because he was actually really good. He was, like, I think he was, like, a well-known, like, crane operator.
Yeah, and that's the thing that really sucks about it, about addiction and about anything in general, is that, you know, as with your grandpa and as with my dad, your grandpa was, you know, was a well-respected crane, whatever the fuck it's called.
And by the way, not to cut you off, I don't condone drinking. Like, I'm not saying, like, because my grandpa was able to, like, build buildings with cranes and be completely drunk every time. And no way am I condoning for you to go out and get shit-faced. Like, James. Don't do that, James. Yeah. Don't do that. Like, do not...
Yeah.
Don't drink, alright?
Anyways, going back to what I was saying with, you know, him being a great fucking crane driver while he's drunk. My dad is an extraordinary painter. He's a professional painter. He learned from his dad. And, you know, my dad struggled with addiction from an early age because of his family. My grandpa, his dad, was a cocaine addict as well. Smoked a lot of pot, you know, snorted a lot of lines, did a lot of things that, you know, you should never do around your kid, but he did it right in front of his kid. And, you know, he also smoked cigarettes. He even let my dad buy a pack of cigarettes at the age of 10. Now, keep in mind, at the time, there was no fucking Surgeon General telling you that, you know, cigarettes are bad for you and you're gonna get fucking lung cancer and you're gonna die. But he still let him smoke cigarettes at that age, and that was kind of the start of it. He got hooked on cigarettes, and then, you know, one of his older brothers kind of stayed away from everything bad, stayed away from the alcohol, stayed away from the weed, stayed away from the hard drugs, and he did good in school, and, you know, went to college, and then he just became a painter, because my dad's father at the time, my grandfather, after he struggled with addiction, drug addiction for many, many, many years, he got better, and he started a painting business, and the painting business became an extremely well-known business where we live, and he got tons and tons of jobs for painting and did really fucking good, and I'm really proud for him. And I just hope that my dad can do the same. But my dad didn't take the same route that one of his brothers took and do the right thing. And, you know, he followed his other brother. Now, his other brother was a drug addict of many, many drugs, heroin primarily. And he did drugs all around my dad, and my dad looked up to him. So when he was like, hey, you want to shoot up a fucking line? They were like, let's shoot up a fucking line. And, you know, basically his brother got him into the drug addiction that he got into. And, you know, he did it once and he never turned back. And that was just really, really difficult for him. And I don't know, I just hope that he gets better one day. I hope that if any of you listening are struggling with any addiction, that you can get better too.
Yes, and I also, you know, if you have anyone in your family that has done this, luckily, my dad, you know, he drank around me all the time. Like, one thing is that I used to go over his house on Sundays, every Sunday, and every single Sunday, he had to have a package of Bud Light or two in the fridge. Yep. At all times, must. We used to go into the package store together. Like, he used to bring me in to, like, the little wine and spirits place.
Yeah.
And he would, like, buy these different kinds of alcohol and stuff. I know that he smoked pot. I don't know about any other drugs that he did. I don't know if he was popping pills or anything like that. But, you know, that was a lot of hard stuff. Especially just seeing drinking, because that's the one thing that I knew really affected him. But if you, you know, you yourself or any people in your family are, you know, doing this exact same thing, they're going through this, and you feel like talking about it, please make sure to go to not our Instagram. Go to a therapist and talk about that. Like how I was saying, because therapy is an important thing that I think people should, you know, be able to release their feelings, even though, like how I have said, I don't personally like therapy, and I can go into more detail about that at another, in a different podcast about my personal experiences and your personal experiences and why you enjoyed it and why I didn't enjoy it. But if you are actually having, like, really legitimate issues going on in your house, don't be afraid to talk. You know, that's one thing that I regret not doing as much as going to my guidance counselor in my school, going to my grandfather, just going to anyone who would listen and just telling them how I was feeling, especially because I was a rare case. I was 8 years old and saying I wanted to kill myself. Like, that's, like, you don't see that a lot. Like, that's not a...
Yeah, I feel like you really don't. You're definitely right about that.
I mean, you definitely see people saying they want to kill themselves. I feel like, you know, more and more, there's a lot of more mental health and mental issues going on now, and people are scared to talk about it. And if you are having an issue and you're really going through something, or you notice someone in your family is going through something, they might say to not, like, they don't want to talk, but it's better if you just go and you find someone for them to talk to, because at the end of the day, they might be able to recover quicker, and they might be able to, you know, do all these other things, get better, and it'll really help them in the long run, because people like therapists and, you know, psychiatric care people can really, you know, help people with addictions and whatnot. And
yeah, and you know, I actually have some pretty massive goals that are formed off of mental illness, and, you know, really seeing my dad struggle with mental illness and drug addiction, and my mother, I feel terrible for my mother, and I know that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people out there that deal with those same issues on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, for me, with my dad, he got really depressed because he couldn't live with me, and it really, really affected him. And so I really want to, you know, become a successful businessman, get a lot of money, go out throughout the entire United States and just build mentally ill housing with rehabilitation centers inside of it, so that people can you know, really recover and, you know, have that help available on a day-to-day basis. And I don't know, it's just, it really hit home, that goal with me. And, you know, I don't know, I'm kind of just shaping my whole life off of it. And I'm really excited for the future and for the future of this podcast.
Yeah.
So if you would like to see some more, definitely favorite us. And as we already said, check out our Instagram at Unique Lives Podcast. And I don't know, we're signing off.
Yeah, I guess we will sign off for this one.
Yeah, so have a beautiful day. You're worth it. And goodbye.